Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
It's time for the ultimate face-off. The Beard Bowl is here as the two best teams square off to see who the champion of the facial fuzz is. Our friends at Manscaped are prepping everything you need for game day. Manscaped's Beard Hedger Pro Kit is the MVP of facial grooming, offering precision trimming, water-resistant technology, and enough styling options to outplay any opponent. And guess what? You can join the winning team along with the 10 million men who already trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code POA for 20% off and free shipping. Craft your winning look with Manscaped. Y'all, I love Manscaped, and not just because it helps me not have the nicks and cuts on my dicks and butts. I do love the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. It's great, but my favorite thing is the ball toner, the ball deodorant, all that good stuff that keeps me smelling really good. But I got to say, my beard's looking really nice right now, and it's really easy because with their beard trimmers, they don't have the guards that you have to keep replacing. They've just got a little clicker. So I go, yep, I am a 7 today. That's what I want. Oop, my mustache is going to be in a 6.5. Click, click, boom. It's super easy. It's so easy that a me can do it. And y'all know how silly and dumb I am. It's great stuff. Trey, tell them a little bit more about our friends at Manscaped.
Silly and dumb indeed he is. Listen, y'all, don't let your beard be benched. It deserves the spotlight on the biggest stage. Manscaped's Beard Hedger Pro Kit is the ultimate franchise player to take your grooming game all the way to the end zone. This package has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look with ease. Featuring the Beard Hedger cordless trimmer, it packs one guard with 20 different lengths. That's right, no more messy drawers full of guards. But wait, there's more. The Beard Hedger is water resistant as well, running under the sink, shave in the shower for easy cleanup. It's time to move the sticks from your old beard razor. Look and feel ready for the big game every day with Manscaped's beard formulations, including beard balm, beard oil, and shampoo plus conditioner. Lastly, as a bonus, Manscaped has thrown in a beard accessory pack, including a beard brush, beard comb, and beard scissors. For the finishing touches every modern bearded gentleman deserves. That playoff beard has never looked better. Trust Manscaped to get the job done. So here's what y'all could do to get 20% off and free shipping. Use the code POA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use our code POA. Gear up for the real halftime show where your beard takes center stage.
Talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. We collected from our love of Downton Abbey. We collected, we found out we're both so fancy. Hey, what's the difference between rednecks and royal families? Only money, cause they both have sex with family. Ew.
Putting on airs. What other rednecks to talk about foreign affairs? Laughing so hard that we end up falling out our chairs. Sir Trey, Sir Corey, oh what a pair. High class topics with a redneck flair, oh yeah.
Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. Okay, it's Team Squirrel or Team Trey? Oh yeah, we keeping it basic. He thinks that the squirrels at Corey's mom's house are racist. And you know squirrels live in the same place for generations. So Trey, you better count your days and you better count your blessings. Cause all the squirrels that you ran over, that you think are nameless, faceless, their families are getting together and plotting on you from the attic and basement. So even though Corey is dumb, fat, and bald, he knows how to avoid drama, don't get squirrels involved. Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs.
What's up, Airheads? Welcome back to another rendition of Putting On Airs. I'm Trey, that's Cho. We're in the virtual Airstream studios. How you doing over there, buddy? Oh, Chuck, was that grape juice? What is that? You got some kind of health potion, concoction?
It's Kool-Aid. It's water with Kool-Aid. Squirt. It's yeah, not Kool-Aid.
I would have known.
It's water with squirt. You know what I mean? But it tastes just like Kool-Aid. But yeah, I'm doing the whole, this is one of those bottles where it's got the times marked on it so that I know, like, I need to have drunk this by then. Listen, I want to say something. You know how some people are, they've been drinking for a long time and they go, shoo, I need to dry out. Whatever the opposite of that is, I guess it's I need to wet up. I feel that right now. I've now been sober since December 28th and I'm just sitting here just going like, you know, I need to just fucking pull one. That's what I need to do.
Yeah, you do. What's that got to do with your Kool-Aid? You're just saying the Kool-Aid ain't hitting for you because you wish you had vodka in it?
Yeah, and yeah, I'm just looking at me doing this thing where I'm like, oh, it's, you know, it's let's see. Yeah, it's 4 p.m. I'm on schedule. I've drank enough water. And, like, that's great, and I should do that. But, like, I want to turn a couple back, throw on some Sammy Kershaw, live my life, get out in my garage, throw some darts, get naked, you know.
Yeah, I love that, like, instead of all that, you being your best self and your healthiest self includes drinking a, like, darker than Satan's asshole brew of Mio and water or whatever, or Kool-Aid or whatnot. Because I use Mio, too, as you said.
It's Squirt. Still water.
We don't have to be brand loyal here. Squirt. We call it Squirt. Y'all know the little thing, the little bottles you squirt into your water to flavor it. They got a bunch of different kinds nowadays. That shit hits for me, too.
Love it.
But you control how much you put in it. And yep. I use it, so I know for that to be that coal black, you have got to have put an insane amount of squirt in that, like a half bottle of squirt in that. And it's funny that you're like, well, I'm trying to stay hydrated. I'm tracking my water intake,
water.
You know what I mean? And it's like, that's water? It looks like sludge.
But listen, I fill it up to here with water and then put the, so it's still that much motherfucking water. You know what I mean? I mean,
I really wish that this water bottle I had was like transparent or something you could see in there. Cause I've got some squirt in mine and I wish we could compare the like transparency of my squirt to your squirt because it would be illuminating. It would.
Yeah.
Because like that's, you know, you just want, I just want, as I get older and I'm, you know, no judgment. I'm just saying, cause I know it's like squirt. It's like zero calorie. It's sugar free. It's all fake sugar and shit. So
make
I know that. But as I get older, I never thought I'd be this way, but like I buy a Gatorade or a Gatorade Zero even in a fucking hotel sundry or something, and I dilute it when I drink it. Like
a pussy.
I just don't. As I get older, I'm like, God damn, that's sweet. And so like for me, squirt is just like a tiny. So if you saw a cup that size of my water that I put squirt in, you'd be like, that's a strange, not watery color. That looks oddly, is that pinkish or something? Did you spill something in that? It looks a little off. You know, you wouldn't be like, is that what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles drank? Because goddamn, look at that. You know, like, it would be pretty different. I go much lighter on the squirt than you be. It's like that famous internet moment where Tom Segura found out Bert Kreischer drinks a gallon of Kool-Aid a day or whatever. Cause it's like,
yeah,
I'm sure he was drinking full sugar Kool-Aid, and that obviously is very different, but it is still kind mm-hmm. of the same thing. You're like, no, this is my water bottle. It's my hydration. I'm keeping track of it. I'm being good.
But
and you're like, you can't see anything through that. Yeah. That's like dark as night. Your water is. That ain't what water is supposed to look like. Water's famously the opposite of that.
Okay. But don't it still count, though? Am I not still hydrating myself? Because
I mean, clearly it does, because like you've talked before about how like you had a mamaw who literally never drank water ever.
Drank so, tea. Like,
people, and I'm pretty sure my in-laws, or at least my father-in-law, who like looks better than me, by the way, at 65, never had an extra ounce of fat on him his whole life. Like, I'm pretty sure he don't drink water either, ever. Like, he just drinks, like, Sun Drop and shit like that. And so it's like,
now,
evidently, you don't have to have just water. But, like, me, though, my body, like, if I can't be hydrated by other things or I feel dried out. I have to have, like, water. And I can put a little bit of squirt in it, but it just don't hit me the same if it's, I don't know. I don't get quenched by things that taste real sweet. They leave a taste in my mouth that makes me still feel thirsty. I don't know what it is. Like,
all
I need just water.
All that said, I truly believe I'm getting the same amount of hydrated. However,
you probably are.
However, I guarantee you this right here, eat up with cancer. You know what I mean? Just tumors all in this motherfucker that I refuse to read about.
It is so comically dark. Is that grape flavored?
It's grape. It's grape.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
This is what grape Kool-Aid would look like.
Bro, that looks like, I feel like in the late 90s during the extreme era, like Pepsi came out with Pepsi Midnight or something like that.
And then there was the Puma. No, it was, what was that energy? Josta. Remember Josta?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Mountain Dew got pitch black now.
Mountain Dew pitch black. Well, that looks like what you're drinking. Like,
I wish I hadn't have even came on, honestly.
No, it is for me.
You
said you wanted to start this time, which is fine with me, but I remembered something. You're not even going to remember having said this to me, but a few weeks ago, you were like, hey, can you talk to Katie about a thing? Because I want to talk about it on PLA.
Daddy's list. I remember. I've been waiting.
Oh, you remember. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because I had Amber give me hers.
I know that. I know. So, all right, here's what he's talking about. He told me that he had Amber give him her daddy's list, you know, which is some of y'all might, like, you know, hall passes, things of that. Now, you know what I mean? Famous people who super hit for you to look at. Everybody's got them famously. That's what everybody says. He told me like 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was like, will you get Katie's so we could talk about it on POA? And I told you at the time, I was like, that's going to be disappointing from my end. And I know it sounds like I'm just saying that, but I know how Katie is. That's not really going to hit. And you're like, well, I still want to do it. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Then I totally forgot about it until this morning, maybe because of what I want to talk about if we have time, but I'm going to wait and see if we get to him or not. He's a daddy from way back, but we'll tease that for later. Maybe knowing I wanted to talk about that guy made me remember, oh, right, I should ask Katie about her daddy's list. And as I told you would happen, she was like, I don't have one. I don't do that. I've never done that. She was like, I told you when you texted me, I said, there's one that I know for sure.
Put your goddamn foot down and make her do some shit. Be like,
one that I know for sure. The only one I know for sure is Robert Downey Jr., right? That's the only one she's ever acknowledged. And I was like, I know that, but there's got to be other guys. And she was like, I never got into it. She was like, even when I was like a teenager, like she started ribbing on me because we just redid the house I grew up in. She was like, I didn't have posters above my bed because I never found men attractive.
That's why I went
for you. I had a
poster
of Britney Spears above my bed growing up, and I had a poster of Tyra Banks on the wall and stuff. And Katie always like, you know, gives me shit for that and laughs at me and stuff. Like every teenage boy on earth didn't do that.
Right.
But she brings that up and she was like, yeah, I never did that. I didn't have those. And I was like, well, you know, you're the weird one, right? I was like, cause it's not just a boy thing. I was like, I had a little sister. I was like, and Paige had posters and shit. Paige had NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. Paige's number one back then was
JTT.
Leonardo DiCaprio. She was a huge Leo guy. That's like Titanic era Leo. Yeah. She was obsessed with Leonardo DiCaprio. She did also like JTT a lot. Don't get me wrong. He was in the mix. But I was like, you know, Tiger Beat was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, girls definitely do that. You're the weird one for not doing that. And she was like, well, then I'm weird.
You're
like, well, then I'm weird because I didn't do it. you know. And so the only name she would give me was Robert Downey Jr. And I even tried to throw out some other. I was like, I'm pretty sure that on Amber's list is Jason Momoa.
Number one.
Right. And Katie was like, she's like, oh, you know, he's fine. Whatever. It's fine. I just don't. She just was giving me nothing, which I did tell you is what was going to happen. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to say what you wanted to say about it, which I think I know where this is going and I'm looking forward to it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so I tried this morning and it didn't. That's what happened. Robert Downey Jr. is the only one she gave me.
I'm saying this knowing that Katie is listening to this, and I've already texted her because as we're recording this, it is her birthday. I don't know if you want me to say that, but I'll say it. Happy birthday, Katie, as we're recording this. I know exactly what's going on here. There has been a long time theory that now Katie has certainly exposed. The reason that Katie doesn't want to give you her daddy's list is because it is true. That bitch is 54 years old, okay? There's been a lot. Go ahead.
You're about to make
me. She don't want to say Don Johnson. She don't want to say Don Johnson.
All right, okay. Well, that, all right. Well, that, I thought you were, for a second there, I thought you were just saying, like, I thought you were implying, like, that, you know, back then they had to worry about the Depression and Vietnam and stuff, and they didn't have posters on their wall, is what I thought you were saying. Right?
I'm not funny enough to say that. I went for a less funny
route.
I
was going to say, what's funny you say that, because the guy I was going to talk about later was daddy for that era of women, for like 50-something-year-old women and whatnot. But I get what you mean now. Yeah, okay, she'll out herself as being old.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been cracking those jokes all day. You know, this morning we first woke up, I was like, happy birthday, the big 4 or 5, how you feeling? You know, it's a thing. She's used to it. Just so everybody knows, she's not a lot of people listening right now, especially airheads only, have no idea what we're talking about. It's a running joke now, and early on in our relationship, I had like a conspiracy theory that I shared with Katie that Katie was aware of, that I thought Katie was lying to me about her age and was secretly like at least 5 or 6 years older than she purported to be.
She is.
The reason I thought that was just because we met when we were like 23, 24.
She has a polio vaccine scar on her arm.
she got that little ring from the consumption shot they used to get or whatever, like the TB shot. Yeah, but when she was just so much more mature that we met working at the same place together with people who are all around the same age, a bunch of people in their early 20s in Cookeville, Tennessee, and she was just so much more grown than everybody else. Like, before I even asked or knew her age, I was like, she about 30, right? And again, at the time, I'm 23, right? And I was like, she's at least close to 30. She got to be, you know, this is a grown-ass woman. She's not like these other fucking little girls around here. Like, she's got to be 30. But then, somehow I heard whatever. Her age finally came up, and she's like, no, I'm 24. And at the time, I was like, I don't buy it. Ain't no way you're that close to me. You're too much. And then over the years, little things would happen that she has an explanation for. Like, one of them was, the only one I can remember right now is, like, her aunt pulled out some baby pictures, right, of Katie and her sisters and stuff. Katie when she was a baby and a toddler. And they had the date on them, because back then, cameras and shit, they put the date in the corner. They had the date on them, and there's Katie is, like, what is clearly a, like, 3-year-old.
You could see JFK getting shot in the background.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't that bad, but it's like what is clearly like a 3-year-old Katie, right? And the date says like 1981 or something like that. And this is in the family album, right? And so I kind of like joked with her about, I think you're older than you say you are. But then like this shit would happen and I would be like, Katie, how old are you? Like, I was like, It's okay. You could tell me. I'd be like, were you married before? Are you running from something? Like what?
Like Juno Temple in Fargo.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And she was like, why? What are you talking about? And I was like, you are at least 3 years old in this picture. And it says 1981 in the corner or whatever. It's like, that means you were born in 1978. You know, she was like, that's not. She's like, Aunt Cindy just had the setting wrong. The setting on the camera's wrong. You know, and again, at this point in time, I'm sitting there looking at her like, I don't know. It's easy for you to say, but I don't buy it. Anyway, at this point, I do believe that she isn't older than she says, but it's been a running joke for a long time. But anyway, back to the daddy's list. That's all she gave me, but you go ahead and get into it with Amber. Cause again, I know where this is going and I know that it hits for me. So go ahead.
aside from all that, I just want to say how old this made me feel. I'm going to read them off. We don't have to discuss them all. We can discuss what you want to discuss at the end because it still holds true. It still holds true, even though she knows that I feel that way. She didn't even fucking try to throw me a goddamn softball. But I want to read these off to you, and you just tell me how many of these you don't know who the fuck they are. Number one, Jason Momoa. Of course, we know him. Number two, Manny Montana, who she put in parentheses so that maybe I would know. Neck Tat Daddy.
That don't help me at all.
Me either, but that's Neck Tat Daddy. Number three, Shamar Moore. No idea.
Oh, okay. I know Shamar Moore. He's a good-looking good-looking black guy. He was, I think, a black male model, I think, who then got into acting, and he's been on one of those, like, he's on, like, SWAT or NCIS or one of those, like, dad cop shows.
I probably recognize him.
He's been on one of those.
Is he the one that looks like Jason Taylor?
For 15 years. I don't know. Bald? Jason Taylor's like super duper bald, and I don't think of Shamar Moore as being bald. I mean, maybe. Okay. I mean, he might be now.
I was going to take it.
No, he is bald. You're right. No, you're right.
Shamar Moore is bald.
You know what? I guess he does look like. Well, but he's black too, and you famously have the position that black bald don't count.
God damn it. You're right. Okay. So, well, whatever. By the way, I'd like to say my wife has a black guy at number three. Woke as shit. So. Yep. Give it up for
the woke mind virus. That's right. To Mrs. Cho.
Number four, we know Charlie Hunnam. We actually talked about him last week, which handsome guy. Number five, this sounds like a name I would know. Jesse Williams. Do you know Jesse Williams?
Mm-mm. No, yeah, I don't know that one either.
Number six, we know, but she has a caveat to it. It's Cillian Murphy, but parentheses, mainly as Thomas Shelby. She claims that he's not really daddy in most things that he does, but when he's Thomas Shelby, he's all of a sudden daddy. She had this revelation, like when we watched Peaky Blinders, she was like, wait, what the fuck? And I was like, what? And she's like, he's daddy, but in other things, he's not. Then when we saw him in Oppenheimer, I was like, is he still daddy? Because to me, he looks a lot like how he looks as Thomas Shelby. And she's like, he's like a quarter daddy in this. She's like, I really think he needs to be Thomas Shelby for me.
I mean, I get why. Okay. I'm of two minds about that because, first of all, and I know we're talking about only famous people here, so the bar is much, much higher across the board. But, like, Cillian Murphy is one of the most objectively attractive men on the planet. He's got the fucking cheekbones and all that. He's chiseled out of stone. He's beautiful. Yeah. So, like, he's always got that face, but I do still know what she means because you couple that with the whole like fucking Manchester gangster vibe with the fucking he's a badass and he's troubled and he's got the accent and all that shit. It's definitely going to, ratchet him up a few notches for sure. I heard that like outside of acting and stuff, like as a person in real life, he's super, super socially awkward and introverted and don't like talking to people and stuff. That makes him hit harder for me because I relate to that. Like I saw a bunch of memes and stuff made about him at the Golden Globes and shit where he's visibly uncomfortable to be there. Like you could tell he's just like, none of this hits for me. And that makes me like him more. I mean, I already was a huge fan of his, but I'm just saying I like him more now. He also was
on some red carpet thing where Harry and Meghan walked by. And they were trying to shake hands with everybody, and he, like, ducked away and visibly kind of scoffed at them, you know, because, I mean, you know, my man's Irish. They don't hit for him.
Hell yeah.
That hit for me. Okay.
Keeping it real.
Another one I don't know, maybe you do, and I don't know if I'm saying it right. Sam Hogan, H-E-U-G-H-A-N, Sam Hogan. No idea.
H-E-U-G-H-A-N. No.
No idea.
Only Hogan I know is Hulk and Paul. And it'd be hilarious if either of those were on her list. Paul Hogan, especially Crocodile Dundee, was like number six on her daddy list in 2024, that would really hit for me.
That would be great. number eight, I only know who this person is because of her parenthetical. Cam Gigandet, and that parenthetical is first ever daddy. And I only know what he looks like. He was in some teen show, or not teen show, maybe it was like The Hills or something. Number nine, Scott Eastwood, you know, the track. I get
it. Good looking
dude. And number 10, Sebastian Stan. So, there you go.
Yeah, he hits. So, Katie, I do actually remember now, I do remember how this came up. I woke up this morning and I had been having a dream, and, you know, an unachievable will never happen dream. Obviously, I've been having a dream that I was working on a movie. I've been hired on a movie. That's all you need to know it'll never happen. But I was working on a movie in this dream, a movie with Jeremy Allen White from The Bear, right? And I don't even remember what happened. Well, you know, I forgot that even happened. But I woke up this morning, and me and Kay were better, whatever. And it's like, I just had a dream I was in a movie with Jeremy Allen White. And she was like, who? And I was like, Jeremy Allen White, you know, from The Bear. He's hot shit right now. And she was like, I have no idea who that is. I was like, he's got the Calvin Klein deal in addition to winning the Golden Globe, but he's all over everything right now. And he's a great actor too. He rules, what, you know. And she was like, nope, I got nothing. And that made me think of this question. And when I was asked, part of what she said was, she was like, I think she's pretty proud of, which I get, she's pretty proud of not knowing or caring about celebrity shit or what, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's like a thing for her to, cause she's like, I don't even know any celebrities, Trey. Like, I don't, she, and then she goes, she was like, tell me some of the people that are daddy right now, you know, out, and she was, and I was like, but, you know, I don't fucking know. I was like, well, I think Jeremy Allen White's one of them, whatever. She's like, yeah, I already told you. I don't know who that is. I was like, well, obviously Jason Momoa.
John Hamm.
I was like, is he still John Hamm rules, but he's old as fuck. I was trying to think of
for Katie.
I was trying to think of like 20-year-old, like who the internet is obsessed with or whatever. The only thing I could come up with was Timothy Chalamet, right?
Yeah.
And she was no. She was like, he's a child. You know what I mean? Like,
that's my thing is when I think of
I'm 54. I can't be, you know, that's what she said.
When I think of daddy, I think more of John Hamm. Like, when I think of Timothy Chalamet, I think of like a little Twinkie boy, which is fine.
But I think John Hamm's back because of college girls, they're calling Chalamet daddy right now.
Yeah, but
right?
Our wives you are barren.
I know that. But when you talk about like who culturally is daddy right now,
right?
In my head, it's like if Tiger Beat was still a thing or whatever, or people might like
Idris Elba still got it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's all these different age groups and they have different daddies. That's true. But the shit, the people that are the most popular,
then hell, I don't know,
it kids right now, that's all based on who young people like, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
because I mean, all the ones I
said that Amber said, I a lot of those I've never heard of. But
a lot of them may be hurt, like, because, you know, this Cam Gigandet, like, he's an older type. He's old now. He was young at the time. Some of these people, I don't fucking know. Like, Shamar Moore, you know, he's not new. You know, like,
what's funny I'm about to say Shamar Moore, dude, he's been around for a minute. And maybe it's
that's what I'm
like,
saying.
Maybe it's because I used to, and they still don't. I have no idea how to frame this. When I was younger, growing up, white trash, fucking, you know, I used to be a big, big, big fan of black women, right? Black women still hit me real hard. Don't get me wrong. Black women are great.
I was wondering where you were
going. No disrespect to black women at all. They still are awesome. But I'm saying, like, me and Katie were talking this morning. She kept talking about Britney Spears on the poster on my wall. And I was like, Britney wasn't shit. I was like, Tyra Banks was the main poster on my wall. I was like, Tyra Banks was my, like, number one back in the day.
Of course. You
know, we were talking. So anyway, I'm saying that to say Shamar Moore, I'm pretty sure, was like the male version of like Tyra Banks. And I think around the same era too, he was like a male model, black guy who crossed over, had mainstream success. Dude, Shamar Moore's been out there hitting with his abs and shit for a long, long time.
Well, but my point is that,
and
like,
black don't crack, so he still looks incredible, you know?
Well, my point is, though, you're helping me make my point, whereas, like, I don't think any of Amber's are like current daddies. Like, I think all of hers are like last season's shit too, because she don't really know the new hotness. Now, she loves Jeremy Allen White, but like, I don't know, like, she, but here's the thing with her, she's a huge fan of Shameless, so she came to know him from that show, and he wasn't yet daddy, and she can't separate those things. You know what I mean? Like, he's daddy now, but she will always know him as Lip, and he was way younger, and Amber's not a fucking pervert, so, like, you know.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Right. So, Get to where I know you were going with this.
Okay, so here's the thing. Because I've talked about this before, and it pisses me off to no end, because Katie, and I doubt that she's doing it just to make you feel good, because that would be a huge, huge change in Katie's MO to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she, because you, now obviously, you look like the complete, oh sorry, my alarm's going off. Take your pills, Corey. Don't get me wrong, you look like the complete white trash, dipshit, hit in the face.
Busted, doughy, don't hit, yes.
Sweaty, yeah. Of Robert Downey Jr., but right. That is it, but that is at least, you're definitely a him type. Like, you right. Are the only Robert Downey Jr. that Katie, coming from her piece of yes. shit county, could ever aspire yes. to get to.
And, you know and what I to, mean? And to defend, like, she has, we've been together for 15 years, and it's always been Robert Downey Jr., and she's always openly told me that. She's always said, right. like, you look like Robert Downey. And again, I, right. I'm, no, I don't, but like,
you
that's,
do,
always,
though.
That's always been her position
right.
From the very, very beginning. So, yeah, she's not trying to make me feel better. She liked him to begin with. And like you right. said, she's in Cookeville, Tennessee. And she's like, I guess that'll do. That's close yeah. enough. You know,
you look, so, and yeah. you're, what is the joke? Wish.com Robert Downey yeah. Jr.
Yeah. But with you,
me, however, I just hoped when I'm getting, and I'm not Amber's number one. If she could name 10 people, I'm like, could there fucking be one person?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who I
did Michael Chiklis not even crack yeah. the top 25?
I mean, for the love of God, Patrick Stewart, any of these people. And yeah. she's, and one time, I'm giving her the business on this, and she's like, if you want, do you really just want me to put fucking Will Sasso on the list just to make you happy?
That's even better. You know, I was trying to do that with Michael Chiklis, but Will Sasso is way funnier. I'm jealous yeah. of her. That was a good pull and on so, her part.
But here's why this pisses me off. This is why this pisses me off. Me and her,
oh, God.
Me and her went through this the first time she made a daddy list, where I pointed out, I was like, babe, it would make me feel good about myself if you, if I knew that I was at least, I know that you're settling. Like, I know that you're settling for me. So she had all of that information, knew that it made me upset, and then still, when she made her updated daddy list, didn't even throw me an iota of a bone.
Right.
Like, didn't even fucking try. Like, right. she could have. Like, honestly, I would have taken, if she had said early years Chris Pratt, I would have taken that.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I've had people say, like, you know, went back before you all started, because, like, me and him do kind of have similar. A thing going, like, not now, not Chris Pratt that's been through the machine, but if she had said Parks and Rec Chris Pratt, I'd have been like, right on. But no, right. She had to even go further and throw a black guy on the list.
right? He is bald.
He is bald.
As we said.
As I've
black
said.
Bald don't black count. Bald as you've said often, black bald don't count. Yeah. So I want to ask, do you do it in reverse? Because I do. Now, here's the thing. I also don't. Look, we're dudes. So, like, I don't know about you, but I don't really keep a running list. I just, like, there's almost every woman in Hollywood.
Nobody in Hollywood looks like my fucking wife.
That's what, right. Okay, but hold on.
All my fingers are blonde.
Let me get that right. They are at least blonde. So, it's at least
adjacent. I was kidding, by the way. Maybe you're beautiful.
But I was saying, like, I don't have, I don't have a list either, but I think for dudes, it's less common to have a list because we are just like, again, if you're talking about famous people, especially famous women, like they're all pretty good looking. They wouldn't be famous otherwise, unless they're like character right. actresses or something. So it's like, but I will say,
all the porn I watch looks just like my wife. I'll say that.
Well, I was about to say, Katie, I know Katie listens to this. This makes me feel weird because she's going to demand that I give the actual name and tell, because I've never told her this. But, like, in keeping with what we're talking about, there, you know, I'm a fucking Peloton queer, love my Peloton, whatever. They got all these different instructors and stuff on there. And there's an instructor on there that I took one class from, and I was like, I can't take no more classes from her because she tears me up too much because she reminds me of Katie.
That's sweet.
Like, because Katie, also Katie, like, you know, ever since
she
had
a white freckled bitch with a dump truck. I get it.
But Katie, you know, like ever since we moved out here and had the boys and stuff, she doesn't do it anymore. But like Katie was a fitness pro, hardcore. Like her job was a personal trainer and she worked for Beachbody. She certified other women to coach Zumba and all this shit. She did like fitness competitions and all this type of stuff. And she was like hardcore. Well, obviously this chick I'm talking about, she's pretty hardcore fitness wise too. She's a Peloton person and she just reminds me of Katie. And like I said, I took one thing with her. I took one class with her and I was like, well, I can't do that no more. Cause I'm like getting my ass kicked by my wife's analog
that don't hit.
Or whatever, which you know what I mean? So yeah, you know, like if someone reminds me of Katie, that really does it for me. And I have no idea how she's going to respond to that. I hope she thinks that's sweet. She's probably going to be like, you know, oh yeah, well you want the fucking whatever, the 10 years younger version of me or something. That's what you, that's probably how she's going to respond to it.
See, I have the same problem.
But I do. Like, I don't, people that remind me of my wife, I'm incredibly attracted to is my point. Like what you're saying, like, it seems like Amber, it's just you. And then everybody else she's attracted to, it's not even in the same ballpark or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
right. I understand why that bothers you.
I have the same issue. I can't go to Target anymore because every single person there looks just like Amber. It's crazy. It's like I'm shopping with 900 of my wives.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we need to take a break and go to sponsor because I have to pee.
Okay, before you do, because I want to do the thing I want to talk about is just so blatantly related to what we're talking about right now that I feel like I almost have to do it, but I'll do a short version. Okay.
I've had to
pee. You go pee when we come back. I'm still going to do an abbreviated version of this, and then I'll turn over to you for your thing after that. But all right. Listen, y'all, I'm a busy man. We're all busy people out here, right? And I love to eat, too. I love good food, and that's become a problem for me, loving good food and being busy, especially when it comes to lunchtime. I run around like a chicken with my head cut off all day long. I love to cook, but I ain't got time to rustle up any kind of real good grub at lunchtime. I just ain't got it. It ain't on the agenda, you know. Got people to go, places to see, you know, that type of thing. And that's why I love Factor. Factor's been one of the most pleasant discoveries of my recent life. My wife fell in love with it immediately, too. They sent us some meals, and as soon as she tried them, she went and ordered us up plenty more, subscribed us immediately because she saw how hard it hit, too, because they make it easy to eat well quickly whenever you need to. And that, in 2024, in today's fast-paced life, hits for us all, I think. Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. You'll have over 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and more. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. Cho, tell them more about Factor.
Let me tell you something. I got high cholesterol and a new baby. Not a winning combination because I'm often trying to just grab whatever is there. But here's the deal. With Factor, they've got two-minute meals that are good for me. So I can fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Snacks, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the day like breakfast, midday bites, and more. Sign up and save. We're done with the math. Factor is less expensive. We've done the math. I am done with math, but we've done the math. Factor is less expensive than take out, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easily. Flexible, y'all, for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing 6 to 18 meals per week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. Head to factormeals.com/POA50 and use the code POA50 to get 50% off your first box and two free wellness shots per box while subscription is active. That's code POA50 at factormeals.com/POA50 to get 50% off your first box and two free wellness shots per box while the subscription is active. Do it. It's fantastic. We love Factor.
All right, and we're back. Had a pee break, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that sponsored moment there from whichever sponsor it was. They hit for us regardless. But I was going to say, so I didn't even know we were going to get into this whole thing when I thought of a possible topic to cover. But now that we've talked about it, I feel like it's just so related. I can't not talk about it. So this, the dude I was talking about earlier is like, he was like the preeminent daddy for the Ambers and Katies of the world for 20 plus years. Like if Amber was a generation earlier, especially I know some of Amber's hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
This dude
what generation?
Would 100% be on her. If she was one generation older, if she was, okay, you know, our buddy Mark's age, because he's 50 or whatnot, if she was his age or older, this dude would be up there in the daddy list, especially considering Amber is a voracious reader.
Drunk. Oh.
Of, yeah, she gets drunk and reads about women getting swept away in the arms of some stacked stable boy who then becomes a knight, or I don't know how women's romance novels work.
A large cocked vampire is what you meant.
There you go, large cocked vampire. But all those covers look the same, and for 20 something years, only one man adorned those covers, and he's a pretty fancy some bitch. And he's also achieved something that also is not easy to do. He's known by only one name. If you're known by only one name, you automatically fancy as hell. Like there's no way to get around. Fabio.
Fabio.
I don't even know what made me think about Fabio. I guess it was this talk with Katie about daddy and stuff like that, and he popped into my head. But, like, hey, that's a fancy motherfucker, right?
Yeah,
and
man.
I realized, I was like, you know, I don't know anything about Fabio.
Me
it's
either.
Wild, because, like, Fabio was, like, Fabio was pre-Kardashian, pre-reality show era,
yeah,
famous for being who they are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he was famous. He'd do cameos and show up and shit because the whole joke was, that's Fabio, right?
Yeah.
And everybody got it. Me and you as 8-year-olds,
yes,
when he'd show up in an episode of Friends or something, we'd be like, Fabio.
Yes, right? We, like, did. That's crazy.
He's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And he was, like, famous just for being who he was. But that
for being
was
gorgeous.
Where now that's a very common thing. It's
of
a
course
whole subgenre of fame is just famous for being famous or whatever. But he was kind of that before all that, you know, and I find
yeah
that fascinating. And so I was like, I don't really know much about his life and shit. So I looked him up and, you know, none of it was all that surprising. First of all, I was surprised to find that is his real name. Now, I knew he was a spaghetti person. He's a noted spaghetti person, right?
Blonde obviously spaghetti.
Fabio Lanzoni, right?
Hey.
Like that's just, but I didn't, but Fabio, you talk about nominative determinism, dude.
Yes.
Fabio, like
yeah,
his name sounds like a gay abbreviation of fabulous, but in Italian, but in spaghetti or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you make the women flick at their bean.
Yes. He's a Fabio, right? Like, and that's his real name. His real name
yeah
is Fabio Lanzoni, right? And he was born in Spaghetti Land in 1959. And over there in Milan, by the way, which Milan is like the fashion capital of the world or whatnot, but that's kind of just a coincidence, which is also wild to me. I don't know. Maybe it's not a coincidence because he was in the fashion capital of the world. And when he was like 13 or 14, as this often happens with, see, this is why models, I don't know, models are, it ain't like being an actor or a comedian or a director. They're lumped in.
A lot of it is born.
It's all born, really. Right. I mean, ain't it? I mean, it is.
You still got to keep in shape.
Because a lot of these models, and Fabio is one of them, he was just out there in the countryside, you know, like leading a donkey down a cobblestone road or something.
Eating grapes in a white shirt.
In a vineyard, right, or whatnot. Like
the wind blew.
Yeah, in the 70s. And some fashion guy was like, you should be a model, right? You know, you should take your clothes off for money, right? Or whatever. And that, and that's what happened. He was like 14. Right. And someone just walked up to him and was like, you should model. And he was like, that just sounds good to me, right? And then he just started, and then he did that. And they were like, well, you definitely can't act or talk, right? So, yeah, like definitely keep your mouth shut. Whatever you say, sir. I keep my mouth shut, I guess. And then he just like started modeling, and it didn't hit for his dad. His dad owned like a factory nearby and was like an engineer and stuff and wanted Fabio to do that.
Insane. And look at him.
And his dad was like, even when that started happening at 14 and stuff, which I guess I sort of understand thinking about like if Benton or something, which is, he's not auditioning, he's not doing the Hollywood kid thing. But like if Benton got like cast on some TV show or something, in my head as his dad, I would be thinking like, I need to make sure he don't get too swept up in this, because I know and understand that this can all go away forever, right? Like this could be, he needs to stay well grounded and have other options and ideas and stuff. So maybe that's all his dad was doing. Because he said his dad was always like, his dad never really bought in to the modeling thing. He was like, that one day that's going to end and you're going to need to take over this spaghetti factory.
Okay, right, but like he always could. Like it'd be different. With Benton or whatever, it's like, hey, don't get swept up in this because you need to go to college so that you won't end up just working down at the factory. But if your plan is to just work down at the factory, always just go work down at the goddamn factory.
That's a very, that's a very good point. No,
so fuck
right.
that.
No, his you swayed me. No, yeah, okay. You swayed me. His daddy don't hit. His meatball daddy don't hit. But other than finding, he had two siblings, a sister, and he had an older brother. And I tried so hard to find pictures of this guy because on Wikipedia, it just says that he had an older brother named Walter, parentheses, who some newspaper, the Times Free Press or whatever, once described as being, quote, short and bald, right?
Bobby, as soon as
I read that, I was like, I need to try to find this guy, right? But this is from like the 70s and shit, and he didn't, you know, but like
all of his pictures are just him going like this.
Yes, that's just so funny to me, thinking about like Fabio's brother, right, who looks like fucking Wallace Shawn or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's Ron so Howard's goddamn brother. Funny. Yeah, Clint Howard. The idea that Fabio has a brother that looks like Clint Howard or something. God damn, that's so funny, right?
Your brother's the most famous good-looking person ever.
Yes, and you just a ghoul, just a shadowy ghoul.
A gobble ghoul.
Yeah, right, a gobble ghoul, exactly. But
God damn it, I love it when we make fun of Italians.
I love making fun of Italians, yeah, I don't give a fuck. They don't hit, but anyway. I tried the newspaper in question was the Spokesman Review, who called his brother Walter short and bald. But again, I tried so hard to find pictures of Walter at any age. I couldn't. Respect to him for that. He stayed out of the limelight. I probably would, too, if my brother was the most famous hunk in the world and I looked like Clint Howard. But yeah, I couldn't find pictures of him.
What's his sister's name?
His sister's name is Christina.
Christina Lanzoni. One boy, Fabio, and one Walter.
Walter, again, nominative determinism, dude. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You have two baby boys, and you're like, this is Fabio and Walter, right? And then you act surprised when they turn out the way they do. Like, wild, right? So, but anyway, on the note of his sister, years later, after he was already rich and famous and well into their adulthood, she got cancer, sad. She eschewed traditional medical treatment for her cancer and went to like a sort of hippy dippy alternative treatment enclave, right? And kind of like how Steve Jobs did that. She did a similar thing when she got cancer.
He just put onions in his socks is what he did.
Exactly. And Fabio very publicly backed her, right? And like remains defensive about it, apparently. Like he said in interviews, he was like, well, yeah, well, you know, she went from being in a wheelchair to being up and walking around after only a week at this place. And then the implied thing of that, the implied question after that is like, and then what happened, Fabio? Well, she died, but she was walking a little bit before she died, you know, because she did in fact die. But he's like, I mean, I guess I kind of, it's his sister. He's probably, I'm sure he's got some like denial or whatever about the whole thing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I get it.
He's trying to rationalize it. Also, it was her choice, not his. All he did was support her or whatever. But anyway, he's still to this day, from what I can find, like defended that decision, even though like she 100% died as a result of it and maybe didn't have to. But
I'd be calling my sister, my dearly departed sister, a dumbass in her death.
Right. So he's like 14 in Milan and some guy tells him, hey, you know, you should model or whatever. So he starts doing that. And then he wants to go to the United States. His family took a trip to the U.S. at the age of 13. And like, I feel like every story like this includes some part where they come over here. And even at 13, which is before he got discovered right. at, I think, 14. At 13, they come to the U.S. And according to him, at 13, he came over. And on that trip, he was like, this is the greatest country in the world. I will conquer this country with my flowing locks and my pectoral muscles, right? Like he decided then that he wanted to be there and hit there, right?
Right.
Because of how awesome America is. And so that was at 13. He goes back to Italy at 14. He gets discovered in Milan. Right. And then he did some modeling around Italy and stuff for the rest of his teenage years. He started going to college at 19. He dropped out of college, right, which, again, didn't hit for his dad, even though he was modeling this whole time. And at 19, after dropping out of college, he was like, I'm going to America to be somebody. Right. And he goes over there, comes over here. And according to Wikipedia, within 48 hours of arriving in America, he looked up in the yellow pages or whatever, a male modeling agency, the Ford modeling agency, walked through the front door of the lobby, asked to see the man in charge or whatever, and walked out of that building with a modeling contract. 48 hours after getting in America. And then that was the start of it. And then he was just off to the races after that. Right. And, he never looked back. He said one thing I skipped. He liked to ski a lot in the mountains of Italy and stuff. Skiing, horseback riding, all that shit. Of course he did all that. While skiing as a teenager, he took a nasty spill and fucked his legs up. And during his physical therapy, his convalescence, his doctor suggested strength training, weightlifting as a way to strengthen himself up. And he's like 17 years old. That's how he got into weightlifting. That hooked him on that. He kept lifting weights while getting further into the modeling world, comes to America, gets a modeling thing. This is in the late 70s when all this is happening. And what I think, he don't say this, and Wikipedia don't say that, nobody says this, but what I think happened is he happened to get like beefy and jacked and be the right age at the exact right time for that. Because one thing he does say is that he was the first really muscular male model. Before that, male models were kind of waifish and shit. And like nowadays, they're still sort of waifish and whatnot. But during the 80s, though, during the like Stallone, Schwarzenegger era.
Yeah.
Like fucking beef was in, dog. Big beefy shit was in.
Before that, it was heroin chic.
Right, exactly. And he like got off the boat with some beef on him. Right. Right at the moment that became the thing. And the stars aligning that way or whatever, that made him hit for the next 30 years. Because he started getting these contracts. One of them was a romance novel contract. And it obviously that went the way it went. And then he ended up doing 466 different romance novel covers over the course of his modeling career. And just kind of never looked back after that. But one thing that does hit about him for me is I found a quote from him where he acknowledged, because I appreciate this. He said that the quote was, I'm paraphrasing now because I don't have it right in front of me, but he was basically like, look, I'm not going to bullshit you. I didn't work overly hard for all this. I got luck. This was all handed to me on a silver platter is what he said. He was like someone walked up and gave this to me. And right. I've enjoyed the fruits of it ever since, which I think, and you know, I mean, again, he could give himself a little more credit because he is the one working out and shit that whole time, of course, at the very least. But yeah, so I guess he's got some humility and stuff. He's never married, Fabio. He's currently like 62, 64. No, he's about to be 65. Yeah, he's about to be 65 this year. He's never married. He said he had the one that got away, another model, when he was like 20. And, you know, he hasn't found love since. He, of course, killed that goose with his face on a roller coaster when we were 13. You remember that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
That's what I'm saying. Big story. He went to Busch Gardens because he was like sponsoring a roller coaster.
It was a huge story.
Right. And on the roller coaster ride, a goose collided with his face and exploded. And, you know, fucked his nose up real bad and everything. And that's his moneymaker and shit. Yeah. So it was a big story, but also like another thing that's Raven, that won't surprise you at all, I feel like didn't surprise me, is he got into politics along the way.
Oh boy.
He loves the Second Amendment, hates immigrants who don't do it the right way.
He likes these two guns, I can tell you. Right.
But. Yeah. He's like made statements like Americans never give up your guns. That's what makes it the greatest country in the world. You got to fight for the Second Amendment. That's why America hits so hard. Immigrants who don't do it the right way, who don't get given a modeling contract at 14 or whatever and are white. Anyone who don't do that, they're trash and they don't hit for him. He's done the whole like Scott Baio, Fox News, you know, circuit thing. He's like a conservative guy, big believer in the these dudes like this.
They
though,
always do it at the end of their career. It's very weird.
Right. But these guys like this, like I kind of do get it. Do you know what I mean? It's like the whole like American dream, fucking greatest country on earth, super patriotic and fucking do your thing and things will work out shit. Like if anyone would believe that, it's this. It's sort of like how almost all super hitting athletes are really into God. And I'm always like, well, of course they are. Like if I was that blessed and everything, like if I was in that position, I'd probably believe I was favored by a higher power too. You know what I mean? So I kind of feel the same way with like Fabio and also Schwarzenegger
Schwarzenegger definitely, like, when you read his book and all that stuff, he's definitely like, America's the greatest country, the American dream, blah, blah, blah. But he's not Fox Newsy, let's all get AR-15s and hand them out to kids. So, like,
he's
there's
like
at
an
least
old school style Republican. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, of he's course. Like, he's right. He rules.
Yeah, I love Schwarzenegger. Huge fan. So, just a couple other things, just some, walk down memory lane stuff here. You're going to remember this. This is a staple of our childhood, I feel like. Can you see my screen?
Is this commercial? Yeah.
Love they shared for butter, but cholesterol took away their passion until...
I can't believe it's not butter.
I can't believe it's not butter. He did...
It's not butter.
He did like 20 plus years of those I can't believe it's not butter commercials. Sure, and I think I found that was like... He was a company man, true believer, and still is to this day, which I appreciate about him, I guess. Like he apparently sends his family back in Spaghetti Land to put on their spaghetti. He sends them all like 25 pounds of I can't believe it's not butter every year. They did
you
like
know they don't use it.
He says they love it. He says it replaced butter. That's what I'm saying. It's like whenever you ask him about I can't believe it's not butter, he says it's a miracle drug. We ask him about his diet every day. Is like, I don't have sweets. It's all low carb. It's lean protein and green leafy vegetables. And I only use, I can't believe it's not butter. Like still to this day, he marches for, I can't believe it's not butter. But
he knows who doesn't butter his bread. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. But this guy, man, he just like, I feel like for guys that are all right, you grew up as a kid in the 90s, as a boy, hear about this guy or whatever. He was always kind of like, and he also was always kind of sort of played as a joke. Like he'd show up on Conan O'Brien and stuff, and he seemed self-aware, and it was always humorous and shit. But like, bro, this dude tore women up, dog.
I'd say a few dudes too.
Absolutely tore them up. And I didn't know that he put out an album called Fabio After Dark, where he don't sing or nothing because he's not musically inclined. They just play like sexy music and he talks and stuff. Okay. And let's get a little bit of it. I'm going to skip ahead. So listen to that.
I can't believe.
To set the mood for the night.
Yeah. Oh yeah, daddy.
When I play a special song, it's very important because it can express what I feel so perfectly. The song
speaks
to me when I cannot put my feelings into words.
It's just talking sexily about his thoughts on life and his philosophies and wisdoms and stuff for the entire length of an
drenched.
Album. That's what I'm saying. Man, he soaked panties nationwide, dog. Ants all around this country. Aunt Tammy's in the 90s. Tore up over that shit. He was the daddy for a long time.
Yeah. I bet you he's still looking good as shit.
He does still look pretty good. I mean, I'll try to find it. I saw some current pictures of him earlier. Because another thing I respect about him is he has come out in publicly and repeatedly and said, like, I'm getting older. I'm going to just get older. Like, I'm not going to have plastic surgery, Botox. People are supposed to get older. I'm getting older. I'm just going to get older. I respect that about him. So, and this is the most recent picture that I can find here, the one on the right. And, you know, I think he looks like a roughly 60-year-old dude, but that's a good-looking 60-year-old dude
right there.
It sure
is.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
It sure is. I think if he cut his hair, he'd look even better because it would.
He ain't never gonna do that.
No, of course not. Of course
not.
That was
his fucking claim to fame. His moneymaker right there was them flowing golden locks.
Well, I came away from here really liking Fabio. I'm a fan because that's the thing.
Again, I think he hates immigrants and poor people. But yeah, he does
hit that. What are you gonna do? You know what I mean? But because that's the thing. That's what's so important about whether or not, you know, Fabio ended up being a well-liked person is that had he not been self-aware in the 90s, he would not be a well-liked person, I don't think. But, like, you know what I'm saying? If he'd have took himself really, really seriously, I don't think it would have worked out. But because he would go on Conan and shit on himself kinda and, like, he was, you know, pretty humble guy, like, that's gonna work out for you. So, like, word to the wise, you know, be more like Fabio. Except when it comes to, like, you know, maybe politics and stuff like that, but still.
Yeah, so two other things real quick, and I'm turning it over to you, two other things real quick about Fabio that I wanted to mention. He gets asked all the time about his workout regimen, and he does go to the gym, he does his workout regimen, he does regular aerobics and cardio and weightlifting and all that. He does all that. But, like, one thing that he has often named as his secret weapon in terms of working out, he's like, one of the greatest exercises on earth is riding a motorcycle. That's what he says. Like, he said, just get on a motorcycle, presumably shirtless, right? Pecs rippling, right?
Yeah.
And you ride around, and you just ride around being awesome with your hair flowing in the wind on a motorcycle. And according to him, you can lose 4 to 6 pounds doing that. Specifically, he said dirt bike, and he did elaborate. He was like, people don't realize you ride a dirt bike, you stand up, you're working your core the whole time you're on a dirt bike. People don't realize how much of a workout it is. So wasn't as silly as I made it sound, but I did think that was funny. The other story was in the 90s, him and George Clooney about got into a fight at some fancy Hollywood restaurant. And George Clooney, I don't think I've ever heard a story about George Clooney that didn't end with me going, like, God damn, that motherfucker hits for me, right?
Agreed.
Like, so, like, this one was no different. So there was a misunderstanding. Fabio had a photographer with him or something, which he always did. This is like the late 90s. So Clooney's red hot. Clooney thought the photographer was a paparazzo, like following him. and was like, hey, man, the fuck out of here. I'm trying to eat with my friends or whatever. And the guy was like, I don't give a fuck about you. I'm with Fabio, right? You know, whatever. And then, like, Clooney's like, what? And Fabio, like, shows up like, you have a problem with my photographer. Then it escalated and they almost got into a fight, but they didn't. It got broken up. But then there were some quotes from Clooney about it afterwards where he said this is why Clooney hits for me. He said, he was like, oh, look, I realized like Fabio could definitely kick my ass. Like, no doubt about it. He would kick my ass. He was like, but then I thought like, God damn, I'll never get over getting my ass kicked by Fabio. So he like acknowledges that Fabio's tougher than him.
Right.
But he also still gets a dig in where he was like, I can't get my ass whipped by Fabio. Right.
That's hilarious.
But still acknowledges that he would whip his ass. And it's like, that's like the perfect combination of a dude's attitude that
absolutely.
I appreciate out of George Clooney right there, which that's all I've ever heard about and from him. So
did you ever hear he's a famous prankster. Did you ever hear the story of when he was house sitting for someone's cat?
He started shitting in the cat's litter box or something like that.
Yeah. And the person came home and was like,
what's wrong with my cat? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. Well,
that's wild.
After this break, Trey, I am going to be telling you all about the United States versus the Spirit of 76. We'll be talking about that right after this.
This here episode is sponsored by Blue Chew, our good buddies over there. Let's talk about sex, y'all. Fellers, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Get down anytime it comes up, you know what I'm saying? Back then, your wiener was like a 24-year-old all-pro during the playoffs. This is what we play for anytime, any day. It didn't matter. Well, we all know we get older, things change. Nowadays, my wiener's more like Joe Flacco. You know, you'd call it in on a late notice. It might do all right, but it's going to need some time to heal up after that. You know, it's like it happens. It's what happens with the march of time, okay? We all have experienced it. But now, you can increase your performance, get that extra confidence in bed, and wind back the clock. How can you do that? Listen up. BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead to get down, or you can be ready to get down whenever an opportunity comes up. The process is simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. That's the best part of it all. You do it all down there on the internet there, which means no more visits to the doctor's office, no more awkward wiener conversations, no more waiting in line behind your high school principal at the pharmacy to get your wiener pills and stuff. You ain't got to do none of that because Blue Chew's tablets are made right here in the U.S. of A., prepared and shipped direct to your door in a very discreet package. Joe, they hit for you.
Oh, my God. They make my weenie harder than Juicy J saying no to Ratchet Coochie, Trey. Let me tell you right now. Y'all, I love it. And the thing is I know a lot of you are thinking, well, like, no, mine's fine. Okay, sure. But it could be working better. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just about extra confidence. These things that you don't really need to think of. Ask my wife if she likes Blue Chew. She probably likes it even more than me. Her favorite time of the month is when that white envelope arrives and she knows that it's time to get down while the getting down's good. And as Trey said, it comes in a discreet envelope. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. It is absolutely tremendous. You know, and you make a lasting impression. All right. So Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code POA at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code POA to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Skew.
All right, we're back, and before we talk about the United States versus the Spirit of 76 or whatever Cho said, which I'm not familiar with, but before we do that, BPP, Big Papa Producer, sent some notes in, one about Fabio. Says, Fabio claims he first became aware of his magnetism in kindergarten. Quote, after lunch, all the kindergartners would go for a little nap. All the little girls wanted to sleep next to me. And so that's when he got... That's when he got clued into how much he hits. BPP also said, presumably before we talked about it, hey, y'all remember when a goose T-boned him right across the face in a roller coaster ride that time? Yes, we do, BPP. Ye of little faith. We got there eventually. The Spirit of Spirit of St. Louis was Charles Lindbergh's plane or whatever.
That's correct.
Right? Spirit of 76.
It's a movie.
Oh. The name of the movie is Spirit of 76? I don't think I've ever even heard of that movie. I don't think.
There's a good reason for that, Trey.
Okay.
So we're talking about the United States versus the Spirit of 76. And I would like to point out that I've never heard about this, and there's really not a lot that you can find out about this. So I'm very thankful that I had just recently started reading the book This Was Hollywood by Carla Valderrama. Fantastic book. I just randomly came across it on Apple Books. I totally judged a book by its cover, and I'm glad I did. It's absolutely fantastic. So here's what happened with the Spirit of 76. All right. So there was this feller named Robert Goldstein, and he was the owner and head dude of the biggest costume supply house in Los Angeles. Like when a movie needed a costume, this is the sumbitch that you went to. And there was a movie around that time.
What year did you say?
So this movie that he's trying to make is 1917.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is way back. So we're talking.
See, what was that son of a bitch? I guess theater work. Probably theater work.
Yes.
It had to be theater work. That's how it got started. Because I've always been fascinated by people that get it. Like, I own a prop house or whatever. It's like, did you used to be Carrot Top? How did you just had props? And it was like, I'm going to get into the prop business. But especially back then, he must have been doing theater shit for years and then parlayed that into film stuff.
Yeah, a lot of it was like, you know, you would have the people that made the transition from vaudeville to Broadway theater to, you know, movies. And then like the film moguls and stuff, your Warner Brothers and your Louis B. Mayers and stuff. These are guys who like they just kind of saw it right when it was maybe about to happen. Like they had the Nickelodeons that were going on, which were like the nickel theaters, where like they would show kind of like, you remember when you were a kid and you'd have those little things that you'd look in and it was a circular thing and it was really just pictures that were moving, but it would make it look like it was moving. They kind of had, those were like the precursor to actual motion pictures.
Oh my God. What were those called? Everybody remembers those. You talking about the little things you put over your eyes? What are they called?
Viewfinders.
Viewfinders. I think that's right. You put them over your head and you click it down and stuff. Yeah. Viewfinder. Yeah.
So they had those kind of things, and these places were called, and I'm butchering a lot of this, and it's something I'll talk about in a later episode, but like this is where the name Nickelodeon came from, because these were, you'd go pay a nickel and you'd go in a place and you'd kind of basically watch a fucking flip book. Well, these dudes kind of saw that, like, hey, I think that they were the first ones to go, hey, fuck all this 5 and 10 minute shit. I think you can make a feature length film and it would hit for people. You know what I mean? And so this guy, you know, gets into all that and he ends up working on this movie, which I know you've heard of. You probably haven't seen The Birth of a Nation. Birth of a Nation.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. The Birth of a Nation. One of the most successful movies of all time. You know, when you compare the budget to what it made, it's one of the most successful movies of all time.
Okay, you're kind of burying the lead there a little bit. Like, okay. Birth, it also...
Yeah, like, I was going to get into it.
Okay, all right, okay. All right, okay.
It'd be
so funny if you just brought that movie up and you're like, look, this is one of the hardest hitting movies ever made.
Yeah, that's it.
So, and that's all I'm going to say about it. And then you just moved on, no additional context.
The Birth of a Nation, which came out in 1915, was directed by D.W. Griffith. It was based on, do you know what the book was that it was based on? Kind of on the nose.
Run, N-word, run. Something like that.
The Klansman.
Yeah, right. Okay.
The Klansman by Thomas Dixon Jr. The premise was a controversial and historically significant silent film. It depicts the American Civil War and Reconstruction era. Here's some key points, Trey. The plot. The film follows two families, the Northern Stonemans and the Southern Camerons, as they navigate the Civil War and its aftermath. The Birth of a Nation explores themes of love, loyalty, and the struggle for power during a tumultuous period in American history. There is, however, some controversial content. The film has been widely criticized for its racist portrayal of African Americans and its glorification of a group called the Ku Klux Klan. It was a huge commercial success, though, and is considered a landmark in cinematic history for its innovative storytelling techniques.
I understand it, it was kind of like, it was sort of like the Titanic of its day. yes. if the Titanic had been all about how Osama bin Laden was awesome or something like yep. that, you know, or, you know, that any, even that's not a good analogy, but it was like technically, objectively, incredibly impressive.
Of
and
course.
People were like, this is the most mind blowing thing we've ever seen. But the content was all about how black people are inferior and the Klan is fucking awesome, basically.
Right.
And so that makes a controversial picture. Do you know that they, you know, that you, did you ever, I didn't see it either. There was a movie a few years ago called Birth of a Nation made by a black filmmaker. You remember that movie?
I remember that it was a thing. I didn't see it.
Made by a black filmmaker who got his big shot and he called it Birth of a Nation. His whole idea was like, I'm gonna take it back. I'm gonna reclaim it. I'm gonna take the place of that movie with this movie, which is pro black and all that. And again, I never saw the movie in part because that guy, this dude, got me too'd almost immediately because turned out he was a bit of a, he was into the raping and whatnot.
Oh, no.
So it's like, yeah, he tried like, D.W. Griffith in his grave, just like, fuck yeah, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, try to come at the king, you best not miss. God damn it. Like, yeah, right.
Hello, my baby. Yeah, just yeah, fucking right. flipping him off.
But anyway.
Jesus so, Christ. Yeah,
checkered past, that movie has.
Well, so this Goldstein fella, Robert Goldstein, who was the costumer. So, like, not only did he costume this movie, which is one of the most successful movies of all time, but he made a shit ton of money on it because he had decided early on, like he could just kind of, he's like, man, this is going to be something. He invested in the movie. Like he was like, how much can I get some points on this thing or whatever they called it back then, you know? And he made what, $200,000 at the time, which is $4 million in today's money. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy who had only ever done costume shit ever, that's it. When he gets this $4 million, he doesn't think, oh, great, now I'm good or all my family's going to be okay. I should probably invest in more costume stuff or whatever. He goes, I'm going to do a Birth of the Nation myself. He's like, I've got to do some shit like this. And so he comes up with the Spirit of 76 because he wanted to do for the Revolutionary War what D.W. Griffith had done for the Civil War, right? So the film's going to be set during the American Revolution.
Including all the racism?
Well, yeah, duh.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
What are you talking about?
Right, why even do this otherwise? Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't, wouldn't really make sense otherwise, I don't think. Sorry, I clicked the wrong thing and got screwed up on my notes. Anyways, so because, now here's the thing. This is going to be obviously a very, very patriotic movie. And, you know, America has always loved patriotic movies. There's not really a bad time to put one out. However, this is 1917. I think we all know what happened in the world in 1917, right? There's a Germany is
the
doing
Great
their
war.
The Great War.
Spanish
Germany
flu.
That's yeah, all
Bunch
of that.
Of stuff.
The 5-year anniversary of the Titanic sinking. All sorts of things. So we had just teamed up with the British to go fight the Germans, and now there's this movie coming out that is about America and the British fighting each other, right? Well, he's like, I've got a solution for why that, if that would piss anybody off, he's going to have, at the very end of this movie, it ends with Uncle Sam and the British Uncle Sam, which, did you know they had one?
No. What, Uncle Nigel?
I didn't know that they had one.
About?
And I wish that I'd looked up a picture. Maybe I should share my screen and try to find one. It's John Bull. Have you ever heard of John Bull?
No. So it's literally the exact same thing as Uncle Sam, but in England, and they called it John Bull. John Bull needs you.
Exactly.
Okay.
So he had them holding hands, and at the end of the movie, it said,
"Gay."
Yeah, super gay, dude. And hey, by the way, it gets gayer. And at the bottom, it said, "And now join together in a still greater fight for the liberty and democracy of the whole world." Right. So this movie is, like I said, insanely patriotic, like almost just fucking too on the nose. Like, it's just got a mishmash of all the greatest hits. Like, it's got the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, the Battle of Lexington, the signing of the Declaration, Patrick Henry's Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. Pretty good speech. But, you know, because he wanted to make it accurate, it also showed British soldiers committing war crimes because they did that. That's mm-hmm. what happened. So he wanted to premiere it in Chicago, but the head of the censorship board, get a load of this name, Major Medalist Lucilius Cicero Funkhauser, said it was too he said it was too offensive. He even went so far as to say that it had clearly been financed by the Germans as a piece of pro-German propaganda. So he's like, oh, what the fuck? I don't know what to do. So Goldstein's like, what are the scenes that you think did that or whatever? He tells him, and he's like, okay. So he cuts the scenes that were deemed offensive, showed it to a private audience of judges and reporters who said, like, no, that's fine. I don't think that's pro-German. In fact, they said, like, no, this is the opposite. Like, this is very, you know, patriotic. This is wonderful. This is exactly what America needs. Funnily enough, that Funkhauser dude ended up being thrown out of office for being pro-German. So thou doth protest too much,
Funkhauser? I can't believe
right. Exactly. And the other names were Italian. You know what I mean? This is Mussolini.
They sound like ancient Rome mixed with German. It's like, this guy was a tyrant. I can't believe it.
Right.
It is funny that at the time, like, this was basically a blatant ripoff of Birth of a Nation. Birth of a Nation came out and it, like, portrayed black people as subhuman monsters, basically. Right. And the whole world was like, God, what an artistic achievement. What a piece of work. Bothered no one. Right. Then this movie comes out and it shows British people doing what British people did. And everybody was like, well, this ain't going to fly. This is going to bother people. You know what I mean? Which is that we're talking about fucking 1917. It's right. None of that is surprising to me at all. But it is, like, funny to think. I mean, it's funny to me as a white guy to think about.
Hold on. The first part isn't surprising, where the Birth of the Nation didn't piss anybody off. But to me, and again, like, now that when you put it in the context of, like, we were joined up with the British during the war. Sure. But, like, it's just wild for me to think there was ever a time in America where the general consensus of people would be, we're being too... I think this movie reflects too poorly on the British as it pertains to the goddamn Revolutionary War. Right.
Well,
out of here.
You know, I mean, I know you share the opinion. One of my favorite movies of our childhood is Mel Gibson's The Patriot.
Yes.
I remember, you know, Jason Isaacs fucking rules.
He's one of the best actors of our time.
As the villain in that movie, he's awesome in everything. He crushes as the villain in The Patriot. And I remember hearing that, like, the British descendants of that guy, of that British officer, his living British descendants, like, I think sued the production, got all pissed off because they were like, he made him look like a monster. It's fucking, this ain't fair, whatever, which... I hear them, right? I'd always heard that over the years and never looked into it. And then, like, 5 or 6 years ago, that somehow came up, and I was like, I wonder whatever happened with that. Mm-hmm. And I checked it out, and I found the real guy that they were descended from that they were talking about, and I looked the real guy up, and I was like, I don't know. He was kind of a dickhead. Like,
Loretta did that shit.
Yeah, right. He was in wartime, and he did a bunch of wartime shit, so I immediately lost all sympathy for those people. I was like, he was doing wartime shit as a colonialist oppressor or whatever. He wasn't hitting, you know what I mean? And we had plenty of people on our side that were awful too, but, like, don't try to act like your great, 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 great papa was a fucking saint, because he wasn't from what I can find, you know? So,
yeah. And we have British people that listen to this show and whom I love and respect. And listen, I know America ain't without its faults, but in the American Revolutionary War, at least when we tell it, Yuns was the baddies. Okay. At least
I got to say, I kind of got to give it up to them a little bit. I've always felt like
they take it on the 10.
They do. There's been plenty. They're like, well, you know, we did try to conquer the world and all
right.
that. You know, guess there'll be some sour grapes from all the colonies. Right. Well, you'll have that, won't you?
Right.
That's their general outlook on it, which is, like, fair and appropriate. I've always felt like that's how they've, responded to the whole thing. Cause there's been plenty of Revolutionary War movies and stories and all this stuff. And they're always the
bad guys. You never hear a word.
And they seem to not care to me, which I do appreciate, because I just they know, they're like, we did tax them without representation. It did
that whole bit with the troubles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like they're, they seem to pretty much roll with it. It's also like when you're at sort of the tippy top for so long, you're just not bothered by,
of course not,
by the, the fucking feelings of the subjects or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, I'll let them have their fun. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it feels to me. So they've always been pretty cool about it.
And look, man, every war movie is definitely this to a degree. And The Patriot is a prime example of pro US propaganda, but it rules and I love it. And I, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like dumb to the fact that it's fucking US propaganda, but it's great. So anyways, he, like I said, he cuts all this stuff from the movie and they're like, yeah, okay, it's good. So on May 28th, it premiered to rave reviews. But Goldstein estimates that all the delays cost him about what today would be around $1 million. Right. So in November, the movie premieres in Los Angeles. But days later, the U.S. attorney confiscated the movie and arrested Goldstein under the Espionage Act. Right. So the film was denounced as anti-British and was accused of inciting mutiny and refusal of duty by the American military. He's arrested under the Espionage Act, becoming the first and only American jailed for producing a patriotic film. The film was banned. And here's a reason that you've never really heard of it. All known copies were confiscated and destroyed by the government. Now, when this dude, he's obviously confused as shit because he cuts all this stuff out. He gets, these people in Chicago tell him this is fine. And also everyone seems to like it. And now he's possibly going to jail. And he doesn't really understand what's going on. He also thought, I'm sure at one point he quoted Randy Marsh and saying, I thought this was America, right? And he's trying so hard to get a lawyer, but literally no, and he had plenty of money to get a lawyer, but none of the top lawyers wanted to represent him because of the stink it would have put on them for people assuming that they were pro-German, because all the word on the street.
What's the guy's name?
Goldstein. Name?
Right. So I know this is pre-World War II, but it's also like, for those loggers and stuff, the dude was also Jewish. But it is, even though it's pre-World War II, it is kind of funny that people are like, this goddamn Jew loves Germany too much. That's, you know what I mean? It's like that was the charge against him, was that he was too pro-Germany. But I'm not surprised that people didn't want to represent him and stuff as a Jew in 1917.
For sure. So when they went to court, they showed parts of this movie, obviously, as evidence, and apparently not all of the things that it didn't hit for some people were taken out. There were still like British soldiers committing war crimes and stuff in it, and they showed the whole movie. Go ahead.
Well, we literally have an amendment in the Bill of Rights. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no,
based
shit.
On British soldiers not hitting, right?
Yep.
The fucking, is it the Third Amendment or the Fourth? It's one of the ones that never comes up anymore, because why would it? But it's the one about quartering. Yeah, quartering, right. Yeah, exactly. We have a whole amendment in the Bill of Rights based on the dickheadery of the British soldiers. Did. Right. So, like, I don't know. Seems fair to me. But
agreed. We also have a bill in the goddamn thing that gives you freedom of speech to make fucking movies and shit. Yeah. So, anyways, so they play the whole movie for the judge and the jury and all that stuff. But all these scenes that were the damning scenes, they slowed them down to extra slow motion for like dramatic effect. And like, when you put all of those scenes together, the ones that are really getting him in trouble for this, they're really only about 2.5 seconds of the whole movie. Like 2.5, like almost subliminal shit.
How can 2.5 seconds even provide enough material to change anybody's mind or piss anybody off?
Well, when you slow it the fuck down,
you got a British person like beating an American or something. It's like, oh yeah, fuck it. And that's it. That's 2.5 seconds right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, yeah. Like, we already used that time up. I don't understand.
I mean, to me, you might have said it earlier, it might clearly just be someone with an agenda that wants to go after a Jew for anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. But anyways, it did not go well for him, and he was sentenced to 10 years in prison and a $5,000 fine.
For what?
For
anti-American
treason. Yeah, treason. Anti-American, right, yeah. Pro-Germany shit.
Crazy.
So
for
after
making a movie where the Brits don't hit? After serving
3 years, Goldstein was released on parole in 1920. In 1921, Goldstein's sentence was commuted by President Warren G. Harding.
Don't hit.
And he was released from prison. Goldstein attempted to sue the government for damages, but like that didn't work. He later moved to Germany, where he worked in the film industry. In 1933, Goldstein was arrested by the Nazis and sent to a concentration camp. His fate after 1938, nobody knows what the fuck happened to him. The Spirit of 76 is considered a lost film. There's a single reel was discovered in the 1960s, but you can't see this whole thing. In 1996, that single reel was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry. I said all that to say this. This is fucking crazy that I've never heard of this. But I want to say this. That's fucking cancel culture, goddammit. That shit. And what did he get canceled for? Making a fucking movie about the fucking Revolutionary War. Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
Preach it, buddy. I know. Well, I mean, even just in the comedy world, dude, like just bring up Lenny Bruce went to jail. How many times went to actual jail
all the time.
The jokes he was telling all the time. And we all love and worship Lenny Bruce, and rightfully so. But I'm saying, like, ain't none of you motherfuckers going to jail. And I'm not either. None of us are going to jail out here. So, like, yeah, stop bitching about cancel culture. No, that's a good point. It is why, like, I wonder if you said he ended up going to Germany to work in their film industry. Like, I wonder if it's a cart before the horse thing. He got accused of being pro-German, and I wonder if it pushed him in the direction of being pro-German. Do you know what I mean? But either way, as soon as you said he went to Germany in like the late 20s or whatever, working in the film industry, I just pictured DJ Khaled in my head. Like, congratulations, you played yourself. You know what I mean? And then it did go that way.
Yep, it sure did go that way.
But anyway, yeah, no, that's some wild shit. I never heard that story either. That's some good stuff, man.
That blew me away.
You got some, what they called? Airmail?
Airmail
for us. Yeah,
I sure do. Here's the subject line. Skew from a preacher. Y'all can use my name. Hey, fellas, I'm a fellow Southerner and a longtime listener of Well Read, and I love POA and Weekly Skews. I'm also a Presbyterian minister and a hospice chaplain. Good on you. I've been in the Skewniverse since I was in seminary, all through my chaplaincy training and in my first years of full-time work. Just writing to say how much I appreciate your critiques of organized religion. The church universal, i.e. the church everywhere, has done terrible things throughout history and propagated terrible, destructive views. Christians need a reminder that what we do and what we believe matters. Y'all are a reminder of that for me. I appreciate you and keep telling the truth loudly and proudly. She's clearly talking about our episode about the Pope banning all the cats, I believe. Reverend Lauren.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. You hear that, cops? Do that.
Okay. Subject line, Mystery of Oak Island. Hey, guys, I wanted to say y'all should do a deeper dive on Oak Island, a.k.a. the Money Pit. It very much would tickle your fancy. Rich and poor alike have spent over 200 years trying to find the treasure. There are theories that it's Masonic in nature. They also think it can be the lost Holy Grail in William Shakespeare. Teddy Roosevelt and many other prominent Americans have spent fortunes trying to dig it up. The guys who currently have the TV show are actually brothers. The younger brother was a major gas oil magnate in the Midwest and used some of his retirement money to fund his older brother's dreams of finding the treasure. He was a postman until he retired. Until he retired from the United States Postal Service and began hunting on Oak Island. The two brothers bought up the land from two old geezers who'd been fighting with each other for years and trying to find the treasure while being poor as hell. Just food for thought. I'd also like to, before you say what you're going to say, mention that I happened to get a notification from YouTube. I try not to read the comments on POA because oftentimes they make me mad, but somebody had said it was about Oak Island. God damn, it's something to the effect of, goddamn, Trey is butchering the fuck out of this Oak Island shit. Just thought you should know.
Well, I feel like I barely even talked about it.
Now, I agree.
Which is related to what I was about to say to this person. Like, in talking about treasure hunters and explorers and stuff, and I found out about Oak Island, the reason I didn't even want to go that far into it is because I found out there's like 14 seasons of a History Channel show or whatever, which I did mention. And I was like, well, that sounds like pretty well-worn territory to me. Sure. You know, I'm not saying it's not an interesting story, but that when I saw that, I was like, well, that, you know, it's not like I can cover in 8 minutes what History Channel has done in 14 seasons worth of TV or whatnot. I'm sorry, I still managed, in spite of that, to disappoint that other person who was listening. I apologize.
Well, one last one here, and I swear to you, last week, as soon as we started talking about this, I've been waiting for this email. Subject line, Mexican Water and Montezuma's Revenge.
Me too.
From you know who this is from. Hey, boys, Mexican correspondent Lady S to quickly chime in on water business. You guys are both right about the drinking water. How the fuck is that possible? Us both being right, Trey? Do not drink the tap water, ever. Not just because it's gross, hard water with rocks and all kind of trash in it, at least in my shithole ancestral home in the Sonoran Desert. Mm-hmm. Water treatment facilities in a lot of places do not clean the tap water as well as you should hope. So it's closer to reclaimed water that you would see used to water parks and golf courses than regular tap / drinkable water. You can drink it, but I wouldn't suggest it. We, Mexicans, buy purified water for drinking, cooking, and brushing our teeth, usually in 5-gallon jugs and bottled water. Every Latino I know in the U.S. or Mexico will have either a water cooler like you'd see in an office or a sink attachment to filter the water. It's mostly habit. But you're kidding yourself if you think L.A. water isn't the lowest tier tap water you can drink without dying. That shit always surprises me with how terrible it is, and I lived there for the first 24 years of my life. When you travel almost anywhere outside of your usual geographic area, there are different germs and whatnot in the water. Sorry. People that live there can drink it just fine since their gut biome can handle it. When you're on vacation and drink different water, your stomach goes crazy trying to fight all the new, slightly different water germs that it hasn't seen. So it goes crazy and becomes a choro fest, aka you get the bubble gut and it might squirt out of either end, aka your butthole. Some people lovingly call it Montezuma's Revenge, you know, for the conquistadors being assholes and taking over. Same thing happened to me when I went to Amsterdam, Barcelona, Rome, and London. Not super harsh, but I still had some mild gut trouble because it was new water. After about 2 weeks of drinking new water, you'll stop having those issues. So, both of you are correct in why the water in other places does not hit. Stick to bottled water and drinks unless you made it yourself with purified water. Beer is also acceptable. You're on vacation. Have some fun. P.S. I love that Corey is a cannibal now. He was pushing for a Soylent Green type solution a few months back while he was high on cortisone. Also, you can't eat horses in the U.S. because we drug them up as much as we do people, so it's basically toxic meat. Why we shouldn't eat people either, not including ethical concerns. Love you like chicken, Lady S.
Okay, so... We talked about it last week, and all week long, you said you've been waiting on this email. All week long in my head, I've been like, why did I act like, because I did say, I was like, I heard Mark Norman, another comedian who also doesn't know anything. I was like, I heard Mark Norman say that they can't drink water down or whatever. And the whole week I've been like, why did I say that? I've just been expecting somebody to come in and be like, you really think Mexicans can't drink their own water? I've just been waiting on that. Right.
Nailed it.
So you started that email out with that, but then she said, she's like, no, you're both right. She said, Latinos don't drink their own water. They got water coolers and all this stuff. But then she seemed to imply both that they don't drink their own water, but also that people in whatever place did get adjusted to their own water. So I'm still kind of a little bit confused. And the last thing I'll say is you're talking about LA water not hitting. I'm not disputing you. I'm just saying this is how trash I am. L.A. water, like, famously don't hit for people. People trash L.A. water all the time. I'm a huge water drinker and straight from the tap type of dude because I'm garbage. I've lived in L.A. for 7 years now, and as soon as I moved here, and, like, right after getting here, I'd like, fill a cup up out of the sink or whatever, and people would see that and be like, oh, my God, you're drinking the water? You drink the tap water here? And that's always happened. I've never stopped. It's never bothered me, either the taste or the results. Like, it's never fucked me up. I just don't. I'm not saying it's good water, but I don't. So, hell, maybe I could drink the water in Mexico. I don't know. LA's about as Mexico adjacent as America gets, I feel like. And
for sure.
Everybody acts like LA's water is god awful, and it's never bothered me, not nary the first bit. So, you know, maybe it'll be all right. But yeah, I'm still unclear though on the Mexican water situation as of right now.
Me too. That was the Philip Seymour Hoffman in doubt of emails.
It was, because she said she's like, every Latino I know has a water cooler or water bottles or whatever, because they don't drink the water. But then she also said, people in those places, they can drink the water. It's like, well, I still don't know which one it is. So, yeah. You know, but anyway.
Lady S, write us back.
I'm sure she will.
All right. Trey, where are you going to be this weekend, Bubba?
Next weekend, I'll be in St. Louis, I believe, and then Indianapolis. And then I got D.C. and Virginia coming up and some other places, too. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Get your tickets. Come and see me. That's it.
Yeah, go to bonuscorey.com so you can get my bonus things and also listen to our other podcast, Well Read and Weekly Skews, and get our book Round Here and Over Yonder, wherever you get your books. And more importantly, tell all your friends about Putting On Airs. Like, subscribe, download, tell all your friends, and stay fancy, motherfuckers. Skew.
Pretty loveless.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at Putting On Airs, Putting On Airs, Putting On Airs, Putting On Airs.
NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.